Hey, everybody. Welcome to another fabulous edition of the Peanut Butter Promise Power Encouragement Podcast. My name's Steve.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm Dayton.
And I got a great story here. We're going to be talking about the admiration and blessings of the law of practice, okay? And every time we talk about practice, I'll bring up golf because I'm not a good golfer. So I wanted to tell you about this guy who loved to golf, and he was on the course, and he's at number 8 there at Thornbury or whatever, and he's about to tee off, and all of a sudden he sees this funeral procession coming. And he stopped, and he put his golf hat over his heart, and his partner said, "My goodness, you have real reverence for the dead." He said, "Well, yes, we'd have been married 45 years tomorrow."
Terrible. Oh, jeez.
I know. That's right up there with that terrible priorities one, which reminds me of the pastor. Didn't want to preach one morning, so he gets his golf clubs, and he says, "Oh, I wonder if I should go golfing, whatever." Anyway, he gets in his car, and the elder board calls him in and says, "Hey, dude, you were on the golf course, were you?" He says, "I was not, and I got the fish to prove it." Anyway, a couple of pastor jokes there. But anyway, what is the peanut butter promise? The peanut butter promise says that you were born with every talent, ability, and gift, the necessary desire to fulfill a God-given purpose. Dayton has one, Charlene has one, I do. But more importantly, so do you. Whether you feel like it or not, it's not about feelings, it's about faith. And that's a whole nother show. Mm-hmm. The second part of the trifecta of the peanut butter promise says that just as peanut butter was to meet jelly and make a great sandwich, people called peanut butter promise partners will come into your life to help you achieve your dreams and your goals. Because one thing we know is we can't do it on our own. We've spent an awful long time in our early years, hopefully, where we learned we can't do it on our own. Lastly, those dreams and desires that you've had in your heart, if they're a part of your purpose, if they're congruent or in agreement with your purpose, it's not a matter of if, but when they will come true.
Right.
It happened for Dayton. It happened for Charlene, and it happened for me. So we just want to comfort you with that. You want more information, go to peanutbutterpromise.com. I want to talk today about the admiration and blessings of the law of practice. In the spirit of someone who's in the process of fulfilling their purpose with passion, we learn that in order to be good at what we're doing, we need to practice. When I think of practice, I think of basketball practice, when they made us do wind sprints, and they made us do this and that. Remember, our young bodies were in the weight room or whatever it is.
Sure.
Work, work, work. And it doesn't really make any sense. It didn't make sense to me why Mr. Hilgendorf was, you know, pushing us like that till that Friday night game, and it's the fourth quarter, 3 minutes left. It's 77-77. And all of a sudden you needed to full court press. And when you're doing that and you're able to go smoothly and you weren't breathing hard, is it just me or do we not appreciate the hard work and the practice involved until those opportunities come to apply them? Is that just me?
Right. I mean, you really have to have foresight to appreciate running up and down a basketball court without scoring basket. I mean, the fun part of basketball is shooting hoops, right?
Right?
Getting the rebound, playing, you know, shoulder to shoulder. Running up and down the court's not fun. Mm-hmm. But that's what helps you win in the end, is that stamina that your coach knew about. But as a kid, same with me on the soccer field. Like, why? We just run. Guess what you do in soccer? You run a lot. So it made sense after the fact you realized that.
But, yeah. So in soccer, how do you learn how to do that dribbling thing? And did you learn how to kick that thing from one leg to the other?
Yeah, well, practice. You do it over and over and over until I was never great at it.
But you learned how to do it.
But I didn't practice. There were the guys that were good at it were the guys who went home after practice and kept juggling the ball and kept doing that and doing their footwork and practicing. So even when you're practicing with the team, those who got really good at it practice even more than that and went on and did it at their own pace.
Cool. Sometimes show me how they do that, where they spin it and it hooks around the goalie and goes in. Charlene, what do you think of when you think of practice?
I think about the times that I was asked to sing for special music at certain places, either, you know, weddings, funerals, whatever it was, at church. And I would have to, for hours, practice a song to learn it. I mean, it wasn't just I could pick up the song and, okay, I can sing that and just read the words and sing it in front of people. No, I had to learn it so I wasn't using the words and I wasn't, you know, I could hear the music and I could sing along with it. And it was practice. It was hours. I mean, I remember one day being in my room and I was in there for like 5 or 6 hours, didn't even realize I was in that long. But by the time I got done, I knew that song and I could sing it. And you know, the beauty of it is you can tell when people practice and when they don't when they're singing. The ones who have the music right in front of them and have to read it all the time didn't really practice real good. The ones who memorize that music and could actually hear it. And so, you know, and the same with our band. I had a group of people that played instruments for me, and my guitar player was really, really good. And he didn't know he was that good. When he first brought his guitar to me, because he told me, oh, I play the guitar. And I said, well, why don't you bring it to me? I'd like to hear it because I love guitar. And he started playing. And I said, when did you start? He goes, well, I just picked this up last week. And I'm just kind of, you know. And he had the gift to play that guitar. And I'll tell you what, the more he played it, the better he got. Him and I were able to write songs. We were able to do songs that, you know, that people were listening to. And it just meshed. I mean, he could hear it and he could play it. But he practiced for hours. And he always told me that's how I learned the songs.
You know, and what we're talking about here, I think habits. Mm-hmm. You know, when we practice, we're trying to develop good habits. And can we all agree? Have we all found ourselves in areas where we got bad habits because we've practiced something over and over? So how do we turn that around? We make a decision, say, I need to change this, whether it's your diet, exercise, mm-hmm. rest, whatever it is. You know, someone said practice makes perfect. And in our part of the country, there was a guy by the name of Vince Lombardi who coached the Green Bay Packers. And he said, it's not practice that makes perfect. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. Now, that was a little harsh.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to think that I have to do everything perfect because mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. But it's about doing that activity and doing it over and over. And as I'm sitting here, I'm just thinking of all the different things we talk about. You know, it can bring the principle of excellence in here. You know, you bring in the principle of self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just talk about self-discipline for a moment as far as the practice. Can we all agree, and from your industry, we're all in this play arena right now where we're trying to help with personal development and potential.
Sure.
Would you agree that the people that you admired in your field just, they were oozed with self-discipline and the law of practice?
So there's talent, like you're talking about with your guitar player. I've had several people come through my radio stations in the past that were super talented people, but they didn't have the discipline. So they didn't have the habits of coming in to work on time,
right,
preparing for their show properly, doing the things that would make them super successful. Super talented people, but they couldn't get to that next level because they couldn't get their habits down and get that focus that they needed. So it definitely, just because you're talented doesn't mean you're successful. There's a big difference there.
I'll take a shot at that. But Charlene, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking about this. That, you know, the reason we have bad habits is because we got lazy and we decided to react or respond to a way of doing things the easy way. When you're at home, it's different. But when you're out in the workforce and you're working for somebody, they're going to pay you for what you do. And so you're going to have to change a few of those habits. You have to give and take. So what you have to do is put your mindset to, I'm here to serve and I'm going to do my best. So to do my best, I'm going to have to stop taking breaks every 5 minutes. I'm going to have to put my whole heart into it instead of just, you know, trying to, when somebody's training you to do something, you're paying attention to them and you're taking notes. I remember when I first started working on the workforce, I took notes when somebody was talking to me. Why? Because I didn't want to forget what they said, because I was there to work and I knew I was getting a paycheck in the end. So my way of doing things changed. I grabbed a piece of paper and a pen, then I applied it. It's the same thing that, you know, you can change your habits. We all learned how to react and respond to things in our lives. And when we do that, we have to make some changes when our life changes.
I want to dovetail on what you said, because it's so very important and it's so true. Let's just take professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how many first round draft choices team has paid a lot of money. And we talked about it in a podcast recently. Tony Dungy talked about he drafted for character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. If somebody had oodles of talent, but they didn't have character, the off-the-field things, they said, no. Look at how many people, and we're not going to name them, because there before the grace of God go I. Mm-hmm. But look at how many first, second-round draft choices, NBA, Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. the NFL,
yes.
didn't make it because it was the off-the-field issues that Dayton's right. talking about. You know, when I owned the radio station years ago, if I had to choose between a guy who knew how to slide the dials and talk and whatever over a guy who was going to show up to do his shift during the Super Bowl, I favored the guy who was less talented who'd show up during the Super Bowl. Right. So, yeah, there are so many of the off-the-field issues. Let me just say this, and then we'll move on. I use the example of bowling. Professional bowling years ago, I know notoriously, did not pay very well. It maybe pays a little better today. But in bowling, there's a lot of guys who can throw 20 strikes in a row. It's the guy who can live out of the RV away from his two kids. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who has the temperament and the ability to go lift weights once a day and watch his diet. Discipline, as mm-hmm. Dayton was saying, mm-hmm. self-discipline.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking when you were talking to Dayton, you know, the difference between high school football, college football, and the NFL. Okay, I loved high school football. Why? These kids were determined. They wanted to be the best. They weren't as qualified as an NFL, but they were learning and training and practicing and learning how to play the game. Then I love college football. Why? Because you see them playing the game. I mean, they are doing their – why? Because they know the next step is the NFL. And if they can get there, they're somebody. But during the college football games, I always enjoy them because these guys work hard. I mean, they do everything to do their part. Whoever is doing whatever on the field, you can tell and see the determination that they want to achieve and they want to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, by the time you get to the NFL, you see now there's something different. They've learned it differently now. Mm-hmm. They've done this, you know, in high school, they're all excited and they want to be a football player. And then in college, they're in football and they're determined to be an NFL player. And then once they get to NFL, well, I see change. I see difference. You know, yeah. the ones that come in that can really play. But I also see the toning down of some efforts, yeah. you know, but it's that college football that when you're watching that, you see these guys want to be somebody. They want to do the game. They want to be a part of the team. They want to do this all. They got that fire in them. And and that's from practice.
Yeah, no question about that. In the title, The Admiration and Blessings of the Law of Practice. And we're a firm believer here at the Peanut Butter Promise that we don't worship people. People are not worth worshiping.
No.
You know, we do not put people on a pedestal. There was only one who was perfect, and it's not me. But I also know it's not Dayton or Charlene either before they start talking smart, too. So we admire the disciplines of certain people. We enjoy the blessings of practice.
Yep.
But I think it's best for me to take my own inventory and worry about my own areas
exactly.
where I need more practice. But look around the room here. We can see the law of practice all over Dayton. If you and I opened Dayton, Charlene, and Steve's cabinets, do you think we could go to Menards or Home Depot or Lowe's and grab some of this and slap one of those together? I don't know about you, but I couldn't make a birdhouse. But we can talk about the law of practice. We can talk about purpose. We can talk about whatever. We were joking before we came on the air here about the paneling. So imagine that we got in the paneling business. Well, yeah, that some of this stuff looks from 1970s and it's probably from the 60s or whatever, but
it's still good.
You need to know how to cut it. You need to know how to glue it. Can you imagine wallpapering?
No.
You know,
or tiling. Or so I was working with my brother Pete the other day, my brother-in-law, and building his porch. He's putting a new porch on his thing. He's up and he's doing a drill, screwing in screws and reaching around things. And he says, Dayton, do this one over here. I'm like, that didn't work. It took me four tries to get the screw in right where he's just reaching around because he does it on a regular basis. He's a carpenter and he's
practiced.
Just so good at it.
He's thousands of
done
times.
It. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real life right there.
Exactly.
But that's what makes an NFL football player such a star is because during college, they practiced. During high school, they practiced. They learned the game. They wanted to become that. And so by the time they're in the NFL, they have had years of training and the ability to play the game. I mean, I could never be a quarterback, but that's not my thing either. But the quarterback that is a good one is because that's what he did all the time. He threw that ball.
You know, I always think of one of the most beneficial things that I did as far as practice was taking typing.
Oh, yeah.
Because I watch people sing and they play guitar or piano. I was talking to Charlene yesterday in preparation for this, and I thought, how do people do that?
Yeah.
And I do recall in part of writing the Peanut Butter Promise book, I do recall one day having a terrible headache, writing some stuff and talking to Charlene at the same time.
Yep.
So it is incredible what the law of practice, muscle memory, and the reaches and things. So I'm always really, really aware, I guess, of the law of practice and the blessing. So if there's something that you don't like about what you're doing, what's the action step here today? The action step is you're not stuck with you and your bad habits. You can change them. You can do what you need to do.
You know, I had a prayer one time because when I was younger, and some of you are in this place, I know you are, I had a big mouth. I mean, if somebody said something, I said it right back. I came right back with an answer, you know, and I had the ability to rip one up and down. But the thing was is that I'd say, God, please help me to keep my big mouth shut. And I remember I was praying quietly one day and I could hear the voice say inside of my spirit, my heart, I'm not going to shut your mouth. I'm going to change the way you use it.
Wow.
And here I am today.
Yeah. And we're glad that you are today. This has been the Peanut Butter Promise Power Encouragement Podcast. And we have certain places where you can chime in. We'd love to hear your comments.
Yes. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Podbean is where you'll find the podcast and YouTube for the video version of it as well.
Yeah, no, we always enjoy spending time with you, and we'll get together real soon. But make sure if you know of someone besides yourself who needs encouragement to get them to tune in. He's Dayton, she's Charlene, I'm Steve. Until next time, make it a fantastic Peanut Butter Promise Day.